League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
Hey, it's an FDF Friday, and we got the crew. The band is back together. The Fab Four is here.
What do we call the, what were the superheroes that were the four?
The Fantastic Four
is in the building. Keenan McCardell, Travis Johnson, Nick Sharara, and yours truly, Joel Blank. That makes up an FEF Friday and a fabulous four. That means that we are ready for business. Trav, why don't you flip that sign over in the living room to open, and we will open the door to you to come into our living room and speak to us in the proper manner as we break down sports, entertainment, and what's on our mind and get to what's on yours as well. 713-780-ESPN. You can text us and you can call into the show. And if we like your calls, we will let you know and we will pontificate on those subjects that you wish to bring to the table. If you do get rude and or say things we don't like, not only will we get rid of you, but we will also call you out in the process like we did yesterday. These things have a tendency to happen every now and then. We do get bad apples as well as bushels of good, and we just have to weed it out. So that's what we do. It is going to be a great FEF Friday because I've got offense, defense, and as I've said several times, I'm special ed, so I do special teams. We can cover the big game down on Kirby on Sunday between the Detroit Lions and the Houston Texans. Before the season, we looked at that game and thought it wasn't going to be a big game, thought it should be an easy win for the Texans. Not so fast because of the fact that, oh, lo and behold, things do happen, and the Texans have not looked good. So we have to cover that. We have to get down to brass tacks, and we have to break it down for you guys so that you know what to expect and what we think you should expect when we get down to that game on Sunday. Also, some college football games. We'll get to those as well. We'll talk about the NBA. I believe, because I have this kind of power, that I will get my good friend Calvin Murphy on the show, because others rumor and innuendo about getting Calvin on their shows. I can assure you, Murph will always do our show. And just like Mario Ellie the other day, Murph will call in and give it to us straight about your Houston Rockets. They open up with a loss to the Lakers. Trav's very happy. Now tonight they take on Dallas in a home-home back-to-back. Tonight in Dallas, tomorrow night the home opener at the Big Sequoia. So we can cover basketball if you'd like as well. Lots of stories to deal with. And, of course, the World Series gets back underway tonight as the Chicago Cubs host Game 3, the first World Series game at Wrigley Field in over 100 years. That should be quite the rowdy environment. So, guys, without further ado, I bring you guys in. And, of course, it's an FEF Friday, so I'm feeling good because I love the fact that we've got the band back together. But anything on your guys' mind last night, today, leading into tonight that we should be aware of? Keenan, I'll start with you first. You can just sit there.
Okay.
Because you lost the bet, so you have to go second today.
Yeah, I know, but actually my payment's right outside, so I should bring it in here.
But we have a commercial break.
We have a commercial break for that. I won't rub it in, but you know, I want to get to the point if Lamar Miller can't play on Sunday, it's going to be a tough road for the Texans because by far he's been the superstar of this team, the MVP,
right?
And I think he's going to be a game time decision from what I'm hearing right now. And if he can't go, I know Blue is a good running back, a good spell. I think he's a good rotating back for, you know, change of pace back. But if Lamar Miller can't go, where do they get that production?
Well, according to Solomon Wilcots, it's thunder and lightning, and at least they've got thunder on the bench in Blue, and he's ready to go. But I don't know that he watches the same team we watch.
Exactly. I mean, Blue kind of struggled to me. Here's my thing. His vision has never been what I thought it should have been. Coming out of college, you know, Alfred Blue was kind of a big deal at LSU. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when he got in the league, I think he misses a lot of holes. He misses a lot of holes, or he runs blindly. Like he runs, he got his head down, not really seeing a lot of things. I don't know if I'm the only one seeing that.
No, you're seeing it right.
But, you know, I just don't trust him to do the job like that. And I tell you right now, with or without Lamar Miller, I still think they're gonna have a dogfight on their hands when he comes to try to win this game.
Well, we talked about it. Detroit's a totally different team than even the way they started the season, or even the way Matt Stafford finished last season. He's coming in, he's slinging it around. He's got some quality veteran receivers on the outside, Mac, that you know very well,
right?
And Trapp, you played with. But when you look at a guy like Anquan Boldin, who's a veteran that's not going to let them get away from what they're supposed to be doing, and you bring in a guy like Marvin Jones, who's a guy that has been experienced, that knows how to do something with the ball once he gets it. So, you know, the passing game's very well intact. They got some decent tight ends. The young kid
Ebron.
At tight end, Ebron, yeah. Is healthy now, so he's good. They've had some problems in the backfield, but they got some new blood in there, so they're even going to be able to run the ball. And then defensively, they've always been steady. So the Texans don't have a cakewalk, and on the other side of the ball, you know that they're salivating coming into that building going, we got a wounded animal in front of us, and we can put these boys away. If we get into Brock Osweiler's head early, based on all the stuff he's dealt with the last 2 weeks, he's going to fold up his tent and go home, and we're going to have a W on our hands.
Well, I wouldn't call him a wounded animal. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, a wounded animal is probably the most dangerous animal you can come across.
Right, if they're cornered, right.
Yeah, you know, and I would more call him like a stuffed hog. I don't know. I don't know what we would call him. He's just something.
What are you, Marlon Perkins, Wild Kingdom now?
Is
the Texan fans think it should be? They should come out as a wounded animal because they're going to protect their home field. They're going to protect their territory, and I think they need to protect it because you're looking at a possibly an MVP candidate in Matthew Stafford right now, and they're trying to keep pace with the Minnesota Vikings. And here's a chance, like you said, a team that's
a team
really
between them and the Vikings. Just take it easy.
Well, we're not talking about the Packers, but
I am.
You know, they're playing the best football in that division, probably besides Minnesota. Let's put it that way. And Matthew Stafford is probably playing the best. Is probably the best quarterback in that conference right now.
Yeah, I agree.
Right now. And because A-Rod is not playing well.
A-Rod had 326 yards last week and three touchdowns.
It's the first time he's had 300 yards.
But he's playing better.
Let's not forget about the other first overall pick that's in that conference that's in Minnesota that's, I don't know.
Sam Bradford got roughed up last week, though.
What does that mean?
I mean, he just didn't play well and he got
finally, so your boy Aaron Rodgers has one good game and all of a sudden now it's...
Look, I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, he is your Facebook profile picture.
No, it's he and I together. It's a two shot, not a one shot.
I thought it was a one shot. Yeah. I thought it was more
because
because you
look with your instead of your eyes. But that's just a different story.
I just chose to tell the listeners he's playing well.
You said he could possibly be an MVP candidate. I'm not going to go that far on Stafford.
Look
but
at
everybody
his numbers.
Knows that
I
when
mean,
he
look
starts
at his
slinging
numbers.
It around, he has the ability and the tools to be a really good quarterback, and he's showing that.
I mean, they're 10-5 since Calvin Johnson retired. You know,
that's crazy.
That's crazy.
Who thought that was going to happen?
I mean, you know what he's done is he's spread the ball out.
Right.
They become a more of a team-oriented passing game, not just relying on Calvin. And, you know, the pickup with Marvin Jones this offseason was a great pickup. A guy that's been experienced when he was in Cincinnati comes over, and now he was a number two in Cincinnati. Now he's the number one. And, he's taking that number one role and
let me say
and
this.
Just skyrocketing.
This is exactly what Trapp said when J.J. went out for the Texans. Not that it was guaranteed that it would happen, but when you lose a guy the caliber of a J.J. Watt or Calvin in Detroit, the team has a chance to galvanize and come together because they can step up. They know that they're going to be counted on more. They're not going to be decoys or caught watching while these guys go and do their thing. And they have the ability to come together as a unit and play better as a team. That's what you saw for the most part. The Texas defense has still played fairly well. It's the offense where the pitfalls are. And from a Detroit perspective, look, you just covered it. The fact that the Lions came together, they went out and got some of the things that they needed with Calvin Johnson leaving. They got some veterans. They got some guys that can catch the ball. And guys that are good in the locker room. And we talk about this all the time. You guys are two of the best to talk about that. That's as important as anything. Because you lose a guy that was the man in Detroit. You got to bring the locker room together as well as the huddle. They're doing both those things.
Oh, no question. And let's not forget about some of the players, some of the other players on the defensive side of the ball. when you think about when they got Devin Taylor, who was a fourth round pick a few years ago, yes. that's playing good ball. Ziggy Ansah, their first round pick out of BYU, is playing lights out. He's a candidate. I mean, he's going to be a Pro Bowler. And then you forget Haloti and Tyron Walker, big Tyron Walker in the middle. Haloti's still got a lot left in the tank. Haloti
is a guy too. You talk about a guy that's a veteran. Experienced, proven leader.
And they know he takes no nonsense from anybody.
Right. We talked about the importance of a leader. That's not just how you play on the field. That's how you take care of your business and handle yourself. He is that guy. So you got guys on both sides of the ball, which maybe in the past they defer. They say, hey, it's not my team. I'm not going to say anything. These guys know what it takes to win both inside the locker room and on the field. That's why they're playing better.
I agree
also. I mean, the veteran free agents that they've picked up this offseason has been a key to their success.
So there you have it in a nutshell. You guys can spin the dial anytime you want. It's like the Wheel of Fortune. But you're going to hit bankrupt more than you're going to hit big money. And when you come to us, we're going to cut to this chase, give it to you straight, and give it to you like nobody else. Because we can break it down like a mother, and we can always make sure that you have the most information leading into the weekend so that you are fully prepared to look like you are a sports expert even when you're not. That's what we do for you Monday through Friday, 1 to 4. That's what we will do for you today. So light up the phone lines. Join the conversation. Get in on the living room. 713-780-ESPN gets you in and grabs you a seat, maybe a beanbag chair, maybe a rug. But if you bring good stuff and you come correct a couple times, we'll elevate you to maybe a chair. And you'll keep growing and get closer to the fireplace than you do get to the outhouse. And that's the way we do business in our house. We're here till 4 o'clock. It's Travis, Keenan, and Joel with Nick Behind the Glass, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Oh, it's an FBF Friday as we get into segment number two of a three-hour show. It's Travis Johnson, Keenan McCardle, and myself. We're all in the huddle. Why don't you join us? 713-780-ESPN on the phone lines and text lines. And you can get in on Twitter at TrapJ99, at Keenan McCardle, at PacManJoel with a K, and behind the glass at NoHitNick as we get ready to continue talking about your favorite team down on Kirby. And is this do-or-die time? Is this the game that they have to have? Otherwise, the season is a wash. It goes away, it takes off, and it never comes back. That's the question, because I started this conversation 2 weeks ago, and I said if they had blown the Colts game, it really would have been ugly. And three drives later, two in regulation, one in overtime, they salvaged that game and calmed the masses for a short period of time. 1 week later, after another egg in Denver, it's time to address the question again, because I think that the entire fan base is already so agitated and worried that they believe that they are one more bad game away from trying to figure out how high in the draft they can get and what the hell they have to do to move forward. So we know Brock Osweiler is their quarterback simply because he's under contract for this year and next year guaranteed. So I don't think he's going anywhere. So he starts the game. But I'll throw this and pose this to both of you guys. Is it a situation where if it looks bad again, you pull him? Because we saw what happened last night. Blake Bortles looks terrible. Jacksonville knows that he's supposedly their quarterback of the future. But the bottom line is, at some point, especially for the rest of the guys in the locker room, you got to figure out if you can salvage a season. And in order to do that, he might not be the guy for right now. So he does start, but does he finish?
I don't know, man. I don't think they're going to pull him. But I know Keenan was saying that Keenan was like, oh, do you take him out? Do you not? I think they treat him like Hester Prynne with the scarlet letter and just get him up out of there, man. I think they really, they say, man, we can't have this guy destroying the rest of the team, because the rest of the team is looking at him like, if he's not playing well, why is he still in the game? I get pulled.
Because
if I'm not playing well, but then you keep him in there and what happens? There's no consequences for him because of his check. So now you got to look at it and say, well, if I got to hold the rest of them accountable, I got to hold him accountable as well.
I mean, I really think if he comes out and play as bad as he played against the Broncos, you have to sit him down. Whether it's for a quarter or a series, you have to sit him down to jar him a little bit and say, "Hey, man, we go as you go, and if you're not going, we're not going." And this game is a big game for them right now, because if they slip up and lose to Detroit and go to 4-4, it's going to be a dogfight the rest of the season in this division. I mean,
the bottom line is they're lucky to be in the worst division in the NFL, where they can play this bad and still have a chance to not only say we could win our division and we can guarantee ourselves a playoff spot, but that pad that you had after you pulled a win out of a loss right out of your rear end against the Colts, and that two-game lead starts slipping away a little bit more with every time he looks bad and you let another game get away. Granted, it was Denver. This is Detroit. This is a game that we all looked at in the preseason and said, this is a win on the schedule.
Who said
at
that?
Home. Well, okay, I understand. You and I were a little bit more realistic
to say,
we talked about this. City as a whole looked at the schedule, assuming that they were going to play better than they played a year ago, and said this should be a win at home. Now you look at it and say, there's no guarantees. Lamar Miller says he's going to be a game-time decision, as you guys said. And there's the guy. There's their crutch. There's the guy they leaned on. And the question, Mac, I got, I guess, for you, and again, Trapp, but because, Mac, you're on the offensive side of the ball, I'm not exactly just the layman of everybody else, but I can tell you, and we've talked about this, and I know other people can pick these kind of things out. His mechanics are not good right now. He looks like he's staring down receivers. Fundamentally, he's not doing things that quarterbacks are taught at a young age to not do, and he is doing them, and he's doing them consistently. Is it that he needs some time away so that you can just relax and say, we're going to get back to the fundamentals and start over? Or is it because there's so much on the line because he's making so much money that he's going to have to do it on the fly because there's no way you can afford to do that?
Those are signs of a struggling quarterback right now. I mean, and he's struggling. He's trying to find his way. So somebody needs to settle him down, whether it's take him off the field for a series or a quarter or a half and get him going and get his mind back to doing the things that you as a coach want him to do, then you have to do it. And like I said earlier, last week, was that after the Denver game, after the fumble, they should have sat him down and got his attention then. So when you start the practice up this week, when you start at the beginning of the week for the Detroit Lions, he understands that he has a short leash, regardless of what your paycheck is. I mean, and talking to one of my quarterback friends that played in the league, you know, he said there's nothing like experience. And he hasn't had a full season as a starter. Mm-hmm. He only played a year and a half at Arizona State.
Right.
So, you know, the things that he's going through now are things of that he needs to see, but it's going to be at the Texans' expense. You know, and I think, you know, he has to hurry up. Some way, somehow, you got to get him fast-forwarded to being the guy that you pay $72 million for.
Essentially, he's got to hurry up and settle down because – It's you can't press the panic button, but there's no more room for error. You've got to go forward, and you've got to understand that you can still do some things in this season, but it's going to take some hard decisions.
Yes.
Well, here's the thing. Where do you draw the line at doing something in the season because of how bad your conference is how bad your division is compared to doing something in the season and doing it the right way. Mm-hmm. Because if they win the AFC South, but he continues to look horrible, what do you do about that? Yeah, you guarantee money to this kid, but at the end of the day, are you letting him go and say, man, it's just dead money? Because right now, I don't think if he doesn't get better, he can't come out of this funk.
I don't think the owner is going to, I don't think any owner likes dead money. And so I think that they're going to use the offseason to try and do whatever they have to do to try and get him back, even if it means tearing it all down and starting to build it from scratch.
It's kind of like the up 45, the same way. That owner doesn't like dead money either.
Yeah.
They're going to have the same decision that they're going to have to make in 2 weeks. Do I sit down a guy that's playing well and go back to the money man?
Well, watch the Christmas tree light up, because we all know up in Dallas, it's Romo and Dak, and Romo's practicing again, gang. So there's something to talk about, too, because suddenly the Dallas situation looks a whole hell of a lot better than you got down on Kirby. And I still think that there's a lot of people out there that don't want to admit it because they just don't like Dallas, but they'd love to have whichever guy they don't want up in Dallas playing quarterback for the Houston Texans based on what they've seen behind center this year. We want to know what you think. 713-780-ESPN. You can text us. You can call us. You can reach us on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, we got a good one going on FEF Friday. It's Keenan, Trap J, and myself, along with our special guests and friends, and Nick Shirara behind the glass. We got some Hungry Howies because Trap lived up to
his bet.
Good name and his bet.
The Cubs.
Fortunately, his Dodgers took it in the hiney, but he took it in his pocketbook, but he reached out and touched somebody and brought in pizza for the whole crew today.
Well, technically, I didn't reach out my pocketbook. My brother-in-law donated.
So give him a shout-out.
Brian Davis, he owns the Hungry Howies in Katy, bought Hungry Howies to Houston. So, you know, I got to give my brother-in-law a shout-out, man.
Absolutely.
You know, hooking me up, hooking the crew up.
Thank you, Brian, you know, for paying his debt.
And Brian brought the pink boxes full of hot za, which is outstanding. Nick always loves that because Nick's favorite pizza, if you asked him, Brian, is free. He don't care about the toppings. What he should say is just free pizza is good with him.
That's it.
So everybody's having a good day, and we started out on an FEF Friday with pizza, football. We can talk fantasy if you'd like, but it's not our first priority. We're going to have some fun, but we're talking about your Houston Texans, which hasn't been fun to talk about lately because they haven't been winning, and they've got all kinds of problems. Guys, I look back that last night. I was looking back at my notes. In the middle of the summer last year, Matt Stafford was a guy that probably you could have had.
Yeah, you could have.
He was just sitting there, and without Calvin Johnson, they were like, man, maybe it's time we just blow this thing up and start over. And he had a bad end of the last year. Coming into this year, no one expected that he was going to make this kind of jump and get back to where he was. You could have had him instead of Brock Osweiler. You know, Barry, we always talk about he thought the only offer on the table or the only thing that they had going for him was Brock. And we said between the draft, between trades, there were tons of options.
There were tons of options.
That's what football people do. Basketball people do the same thing. They line up their options and they look at what are the best possible options for their franchise. Matt Stafford was a guy that was out there for the picking.
True.
I'd have took him.
They went in a different direction. But here's a guy from a sample size. And Mac, you and I talked off the air about this the other day when we were in the car. The sample size, I said, wasn't big enough. You said just the career, professional career in general wasn't big enough. He still hadn't played a full season. He might have been in the league 5 years. He hadn't played a full season to have enough tape to go back and look and say, this is the guy I want leading my franchise. This is the guy I'm going to give $17 million of guaranteed money a year to.
And not just that, you add the seven games with the previous, I said the previous 10 games he played. Well, that's a Pac-10 schedule of a Pac-10 team he didn't lead to a title.
Right.
You know what I mean?
A year and a half.
You see what I'm saying?
And the only thing you can say is he had some NFL talent on there because he's got a guy that's on his roster in Jalen Strong.
Yeah.
That played receiver, and they still didn't win.
And it took them getting a defense. Of course, the offense was okay when he was there. But it took finally Arizona State getting a pretty solid defense in order to get back to them BCS games. But when you think about what he did in college, I was impressed with his size and his stature, and because he brought Arizona State back into a conversation,
right?
And that's more what I was impressed with, not what he did on the field. It's more like, okay, you're bringing a college, being a West Coast guy, you're bringing a college football team that on the West Coast used to carry a lot of clout back in the day.
Yep. Yes, they
you
did.
You know, when Jason Simmons and Pat Tillman
right.
and Jake the Snake, when all them guys
all
were there.
Guys yeah, Jake Plummer.
You know what I mean?
And the thing is Todd Graham brought a system, too, that made people take notice because it's more of an NFL-like system.
Yeah.
It's more of an open, free-flowing offense. It's more the kind of things you see in the NFL. So with all those things being considered, the one thing I say to you guys that I said to a lot of people they didn't want to hear was, the other reason why you looked at Brock was, and we used to say this all the time about when you got a 7-footer that couldn't chew gum and dribble at the same time. Look, God can't teach what he doesn't give you. If he gives you 7 foot, he gave you something that not a lot of people get to.
Yeah,
so you got something, you got tools you can work with.
Yeah.
Mr. Goodrich can't work with two sticks and a blade of grass and tell you he's going to give you a forest fire. Whereas if you get someone that can bring the heat, now you can make it into a bonfire.
Yeah.
Brock is, with his size, with his arm strength, with his physicality, you looked at him, you said, prototypical quarterback. Now, can that translate to the field? And what we've seen is, regardless of whether the sample size was big enough or not, you look at him and you say, he can't keep staring down receivers. He's got to get on the same page with him. Keenan brought this up to our attention, so did Chester Pitts. We talked about just the fact that it's all on Brock, but it's also on the receivers if there are option routes out there where you can go left or you can go right based on where the defense is, and they're not even on the same page on that. Now, that's stuff that you expect. They're professionals.
Yeah.
If it's not there, fix it. Stay after practice. Come in early, but fix it. They're not even doing that, and that's when it also translates to the coaching staff to say, guys, you need to start working this stuff out.
No question. I think it was – evident. It was blatant when he threw that pass over to the left when it was like, I think it was either a post corner option route.
Yep.
And he runs the post and not the corner. He throws to the corner and he's looking at DeAndre like he wanted. The one thing is, I hate a guy on the team that's a pointer. He's quick to throw his hands up, like, because now he might not go to the media and snitch on him, but he just snitched on him on live TV. Right. So now all the announcers know this is on this guy.
Right.
You know, this is
on
this guy.
We're not dumb, but we can figure out body language.
And as soon as he threw that, I think Brock, because of all of the scrutiny he's been taking, the first thing he starts doing is MFing DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, you never show up the quarterback as a receiver. But when the quarterback starts to show you up, that's time to go sit on that sideline and say, come close to me and let's have a little conversation. Hey. And it's going to be an ugly conversation, but it's going to be up close and personal where just like, only me and you can hear it. And if it gets any worse, I see you in the locker room.
Like Peyton and Reggie Wayne when he was like, hold on, homie, we from the same place. You ain't going to be talking to me crazy.
Well, and it's just like what we saw when it boiled over between Schaub and Andre Johnson.
Yeah.
I mean, at a certain point, if you can't work it out civilly, it's going to be worked out in the court of public opinion because we ain't holding back anymore.
Because I think, especially at that time, Andre's so quiet. And just, I think the same thing with DeAndre, even though, you know, he keeps it to himself, and then you push, and then he loses it. He flies off the handle.
You can only push him so far, man. Yeah.
And you know what the thing is he won't – what I've seen out of Brock is I don't think he'll do it to his players. But early in this season, he was doing it to the coaching staff. Like, they'd call in a third and one play, and then it didn't work. And he'd come over to the sidelines with his palms in the air, shaking his head, going, you know, what the heck was that?
I think that's
the beginning of what has gotten to this.
As a former coach and understands when the kid or one of your players gives you the hand gesture, throws your hands in the air, like, it's not his fault. 9 times out of 10, it is his fault. And you're looking at him like, okay. This is body language that you're giving me right now. I really want to put my hands on you, but we're going to have a conversation.
We're going to have a conversation.
It's going to be a stern conversation, too.
And especially, I think the biggest thing is, especially if you are a position coach.
Yes.
And you sitting there looking like, because now you put me on the hot seat, because now the head coach looking at me like, oh, you can't control your boy, huh?
Yeah.
You can't control your players.
Right.
Now, that's on you, because now I done seen plenty of coaches get fired.
Because they can't control their player.
Again, I go back to this, and that's why I've had such a staunch position on who's on the hot seat here. Rick and Bill both have to be on the hot seat because from a coaching perspective as the head coach, those are your position coaches. Those are your players. You see it as well as anybody else. You may want to pull a blind eye and put the blinders on and say, I don't see it. The whole world sees it. If you don't see it initially, you go see it when you go back and look at tape, and you know that is the beginning of what can get out of hand in a hurry.
So question, if it comes back that it's always been on the receivers the whole year, if the receiver, but I'm just saying,
the man caught 100 and something balls and 1,500 yards with three journeyman quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Now you got a $17 million quarterback. It ain't on the receiver. It ain't no number 10 right now.
I'm playing devil's advocate right now. So
I'm a receiver, so I'm going to stick up for D-Hop right now.
So let me be El Diablo, man. Just give me a second. I'm just saying, if it comes back, I doubt it's on the receivers, but if it comes back, it's on the receivers. Do you lighten up on Brock or you say, you know what, get them all out of here anyway?
No, man, because at the same time, look, this is the same guy that got them all together and went to Arizona and worked them out.
Don't nobody want to go
you
to
got,
Arizona.
Okay, but we know that.
Texas and West Coast. They did the West Coast Texans.
And
so,
we know that as the leader, quote unquote, and the big money guy, and the guy that's got the keys to the offense, if it is broke, fix it. And if no one else is, step up and be a leader and fix it. We talk about it from a basketball perspective. You can be a superstar or an analytic superstar, but to be a leader, you've got to make those around you better.
Yeah.
Therefore, if someone's dropping the ball, and I don't care who it is, head to aisle 5, pick that ball up, put it back, get it right.
Yeah.
I mean, he is the leader right now, right?
Right.
And he has to make everybody better. The quarterback.
Who's the leader?
Brock.
Why is he? What makes him the leader?
You know how it is.
That's how they
when
push
they pay you,
you. When they pay you,
pay you. They consider you the leader.
They push you the leader.
I hate that thing right there.
You don't earn that leadership in that locker room.
Yes.
That money don't give it to you. You got to do something. You got to do other stuff outside of just making plays to be the leader.
The leader for me right now is Lamar Miller.
I agree.
And he needs to ball more.
You can pick one of the two guys because of the money in their bank account. And the reason why I lean
towards... And it's not because of his money.
No, but I still lean towards Brock more than Lamar because that comes with the territory being a quarterback when you're the guy that starts the offense. I understand Lamar could basically... He makes a case that it could be him as well. But I'm just saying, from the standpoint of a football perspective, on the offensive side of the ball, you always expect the quarterback to be your leader, to be the guy that steps up, steps in, does some things.
Jason Campbell, Clint Portis. The leader was Clint Portis, yeah. Not Jason Campbell. That may be the same thing right now.
Yeah.
Okay, then it's on Lamar Miller, too. Someone better step up and fix it before it gets too broken. Because you know what? There's a crack in the armor, but it ain't broken for the point of irreparable damage. But someone better I don't care who it is, but someone better step up now before it's too late. Because it is do or die this weekend, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is.
There it is. We have more to talk about on that. We have Mike that wants to talk about it, too. Kurt Lowe, who's made some outrageously bad statements on Twitter lately, wants to talk about his blood and guts, which is the Houston Rockets. We have plenty to talk about. We've got a lot of time to do it, so you can join the conversation, 713-780-ESPN, or you can tweet us, hit us till 4, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, here's what we're going to do. Talking about the Texans. We can continue to talk about them. We can also come back to them. But I know a lot of you want to talk about them. We also got to get to a guy that we need to get to a guy. I filled Trap in on this last night, Mac, and I got to fill you in, too. If you haven't experienced Kurt Lowe yet, he is on the line. And you want to talk about a guy that has drank the Kool-Aid? Well, he's overdosed on it. I mean, you could pick a flavor, but it's
red Kool-Aid.
Oh, my God. It is so red, Mac. And then it's just a matter of, is the yellow lemonade, or did someone pee in it, and he just doesn't know about it because he still thinks that the Rockets are championship bound. And then he's a wannabe general manager, too. So what he's doing is he's checking out other games. And I love him, man. He's followed me ever since I've been in Houston. And he's been loyal to my shows. But at the same time, he's delusional because of the Kool-Aid. And I need to get him on some water, a water-based diet, and I need to get him maybe some protein shakes just to kind of straighten out what's going on.
Some red Crystal Light.
Yeah. But before
thin it out a little
but
bit.
But before we get him to the Crystal Light and just kind of calm him down, we want Mike in on the show because we were talking Texans first. Mike, you want to talk about that team down on Kirby. Welcome to the show. What do you got?
Yeah. Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Someone mentioned earlier that the Texans are lucky they're in this division, and I honestly think this division is the worst thing that could happen to them because a couple things result in being in the worst division of football. One is because we are the tallest midget, we're going to make the playoff most likely, which keeps Rick Smith in place, and I think it's the only reason he hasn't lost his job yet. And then secondly, it hurts us on draft picks. When we all know this is a team that doesn't belong in the playoffs, and when they get into the playoffs, if they do, this isn't baseball. It's not like anybody's game. You're going to lose, and you're going to get blown out, just like we did last year. And then the other thing is, what is the Texans' obsession with backup quarterbacks? I mean, was Matt Flynn not available before we got Osweiler? Because Osweiler, Mallett, Hoyer, Schaub, why are we not drafting quarterbacks? Because I see three rookie quarterbacks who haven't started a day in the NFL before this season, and they look light years ahead of Osweiler. So at least if you're going to take a flyer on Osweiler, don't pay him $70 million, and at least draft someone who might work out if Osweiler doesn't work out. So Rick Smith needs to be fired, and this team has never aggressively pursued a good quarterback. It's one of the reasons I've stopped being a fan of theirs for the last few years.
Mike, we appreciate the call. By the way, this just in, we refer to them as little people. and we're going to be politically correct, so we don't want to get into all that. But I've said it. I put Rick on the hot seat. I told you why. I backed it up. I said Bill and Rick both need to take the blame for this, and they need to be held accountable. And right now, there's a lot to be held accountable for.
They was trying to hit the Matt Hasselbeck and Mark Brunell thing with the backups. And they missed. They missed badly.
Yeah, they did. But you know what? As you guys will both to attest to, the Schaub thing worked out for 3 years.
It did.
It was a good move for 3 years. And then it just, you know, it fell off. It didn't gradually fall off. It fell off a cliff. But
you would take Matt Schaub right now, wouldn't you?
The Matt Schaub of the first year when they
first
got
three
him?
Years?
Absolutely.
The first 3 years, he was here. You got
first four to me.
First four or five. Matt was here longer than everybody think he was here.
Yes, and everybody just think it was a 3 year run.
No, Matt was here for.
They just got tired of the commercials.
Well, that's the quarterback of the Texans. You got to give him something. You got to give him the BMWs. You got to give him the
everybody
commercials.
Everybody just got mad that he needed a running start to get the ball downfield. But guess what? For the first couple of years, he got the ball downfield.
He got the ball down. No question. I mean, Matt was everything you expected. And this is the thing I hate, is that people forget the first year Matt got hurt and the Texans lost when T.J. Yates won that playoff game, Texans lost in the second round of playoffs. What was the only thing they said? If we had Matt Schaub, we'd have won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. Would have gone farther.
People forgot about that.
Yeah, and they kept forgetting about that. And all of a sudden it was like, oh, he came back from injury, had a bad year, and he's terrible.
It did make T.J. Yates. It gave T.J. Yates top billing at Dick's on a Sunday, though. We saw that.
Yeah, it did.
But think about this. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to get a chance. He's going to be a backup quarterback. Somebody's going to take a chance on him.
No question. He's the next guy in line to be a starting quarterback next year in the NFL.
So,
and I saw a ridiculous article out there somewhere where a guy like Matt, his name is Matt Burke, like the old offensive lineman.
Right.
But he writes somewhere in New England where he thought that a great trade would be Jimmy Garoppolo straight up for D-Hop.
That's not a bad trade for the New England Patriots.
It's a great trade for the New England Patriots.
It's a terrible trade for the Texans.
Yeah. Yeah, and here's the other thing. D-Hop, which we have to face as well, may not be here much longer. Because, yes, they're going to franchise him. But at the end of the day, he's going to make it real difficult if that guy's still playing that way and trying to get him the ball. Because he knows that his long-term well-being financially is dictated by who gets him the ball and how they get it. We've already said 50-50 balls from Brock look like 30-70 balls, even though it is D-Hop.
Exactly.
And when he has a choice, that's not going to be what he chooses first.
No.
And I just hope they don't devalue his value because of this season.
It's a great call.
I know it's going to happen, but they
should. Look at what they're doing when they're saying with Tom Herman now. Every loss is $200,000 to $300,000 less that they're going to offer him. Well, if you think they're going to do it there, you know they're going to do it in D-Hop.
And if you think that right now Tom Herman gives a DA whatever you think he giving that about,
you know, even if you say it quietly, it still goes out over the air.
Can I say dang?
No, you can say dang. Yeah.
Yeah. If you think he give a dang about what somebody else got off, somebody finna give him the bank. They finna be like, here's a number. They finna hit him with the envelope. Here's his number.
Well, that's the same thing with D-Hop. Even if one team tries to play that kind of game with him, there's enough teams out there and enough teams that have a real sample size,
yes,
like all of last season, with the guys throwing him the ball to say he can do it.
I'm going
to
tell you who's going to come looking. Kansas City. You got Kansas City is a team where Jeremy Maclin they gave a bunch of money to, and Don Terry Poe has more touchdowns than Jeremy Maclin right now. They're going to get rid of him and bring in D-Hop.
Brink's truck. Kansas City would back the Brink's truck up.
And he'll play there forever.
Yes.
He's still got a guy that can't – he may be better than Brock, but he's limited sometimes too.
Limited in what?
Alex Smith.
He's a game manager. That's.
I'm just saying.
You can get 1,000 yards. You can get 11, 1,200 yards a season.
His arm strength down the field.
But he's always had strength. Doesn't go there.
So the three journeymen were game managers? Like,
well,
Alex Smith?
And it's just like we've always said on this show, game manager used to be a compliment, and now it's supposed to be like a taboo bad name. But look, if your defense is as good as like Denver or Kansas, teams like that's all they need is a game manager and a guy they can hand the ball off to so they have balance and that they can sustain drives. So, you know what? Your guy might not be there to even try to do that on Sunday. If Lamar Miller doesn't play, now they really, really, really have problems.
So they're going to drop back 60 times and let him throw it.
Yeah, how about that? And they talked about Rodgers when he only had one tailback and how many times he threw the ball. But they're not going to have any choice but to drop back Brock as many times until he needs a crutch and a kickstand to make sure he's upright. He's still going to have to keep slinging that thing around. Well, Trav, you'd have a field day on that.
No question.
You might even have a sack.
I would have a sack.
There you go.
I only got three of them.
Well, you got less sacks than you have wheeze.
Hey.
You got some wheeze and some sacks, and you got a whole lot more before we come back. ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar plant protein bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQBars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQ Bar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ Mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.